at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The clock is ticking on the state's special legislative session. There are just 9 days left. House Speaker Joe Strauss and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who leads the state Senate, had a meeting yesterday. It's the first time they met in person in 6 months. Houston Chronicle reporter Andrea Zielinski talked with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
To some extent, it's a sign of progress that they are meeting and that they're talking. However, initial reports from the yesterday's meeting doesn't show that there's anything in particular, any of the priorities in either chamber that they've agreed to move forward in the last week and a half of session.
Patrick and Strauss have been at odds for quite some time now. One of the big sticking points, Patrick has pushed for a so-called bathroom bill that would restrict transgender access to public restrooms. Strauss opposes the measure. The bathroom legislation is one of 20 items on the special session agenda set by Governor Greg Abbott. Zielinski says it appears the governor's running out of time.
The governor's been meeting with lawmakers left and right and been promoting that on Twitter, that he looks like he's trying to get some consensus here. However, there's still a lot of frustration in the House with many pieces of the governor's agenda that I'm not sure there's going to be all that much passed by the end of the session.
So far, no bills related to the 20 special session agenda items have cleared both the state House and Senate. Deferred Action is going on tour. It's a political drama about the children brought to the United States by undocumented immigrant parents. They're called Dreamers. The Dallas Theater Center premiered the play last year as a co-production with Cara Mia Theater. This fall, thanks to SMU's Ignite Arts Dallas initiative and the Latino Cultural Center, or Latino Center for Leadership Development, rather, the play will head to SMU, Denton, the Latino Cultural Center in Dallas, and then Houston and Los Angeles. David Lozano is the director of Cara Mia and co-author of Deferred Action. He explains the nearly 2 million children brought to the U.S. remain a controversial issue, regardless of President Trump's immigration policies. Under President Obama's Deferred Action policy, they were put in limbo. They were given only limited and temporary legal status.
What it really means is deferred deportation. It allows Dreamers to stay here legally to work and drive. But it's a policy that could be taken away by any president.
Deferred Action will play at SMU's Bob Hope Theater September 14th through the 17th. In public schools across the country, Native American students are disciplined twice as often as their white peers. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with investigative West journalist Rebecca Claren about how suspensions and expulsions contribute to high dropout rates.
African American boys receive the most punitive discipline. But next is Native American boys. And that is something that is really missing from the national conversation that I'm so grateful we are having as a country, a lot in educational circles and beyond, about the disciplinary gap and the achievement gap. But Native kids get left out of that conversation because they are such a small percentage of the population. So yeah, Native American kids, they receive twice as many suspensions, out-of-school suspensions, as their white peers. And there is plenty of data to show that when kids are routinely suspended, when they are expelled, they don't end up coming back to school. They get the message. This is not a place for you. And it's what is called being pushed out. And I think it's really fitting and heartbreaking that kids just, they feel like, oh, okay, I'm not wanted here. And so they don't come back.
Rebecca Claren's article, How America is Failing Native American Students, appears in The Nation. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, what teen pregnancy costs a young mom and the community she lives in. New research breaks it down for Dallas County, from money spent on Medicaid for prenatal care to what it takes to investigate child abuse and neglect. As Courtney Collins reports, a North Texas teen pregnancy prevention program teamed up with UT Southwestern to calculate the costs.
Adrelle Collins was 18 when she found out she was pregnant. She says at the time, it felt like her entire world was coming apart.
Anxiety and fear, that is an understatement. I had plans. I was in college when I got pregnant.
She was in a relationship with a man in his 30s. When he found out she was pregnant, he left. He hasn't seen their son, Jaden, now almost 10, in 8.5 years. In the early days of motherhood, she struggled emotionally and financially, first applying for WIC vouchers. The Women, Infants, and Children program helps pregnant women and new moms buy formula and healthy food. It was a lifeline for her and Jaden.
As he got older, we eventually got on food stamps and we used child care assistance.
Collins says those programs saved her, but she hated relying on them. She would even go to Walmart at midnight so nobody would see her using her WIC vouchers.
Especially being a Black woman, you know, that is a stereotype in our community that we just lay up and have babies and we are on welfare. And so that was really hard for me. I think that was the hardest part.
Which may explain why Collins pushed herself so hard. She finished college and got a master's degree in counseling. Now she works as a mental health case manager. Before that, she was an educator with a local nonprofit called Interrupt. That's the North Texas Alliance to Reduce Unintended Pregnancy in Teens, one of several dozen prevention programs in the U.S. that just had its federal funding cut. CEO Terry Goltz-Greenberg says Interrupt is trying to show people that teen pregnancy affects everyone, not just the moms and their families.
If you're living, say, in Addison, you might say, well, the teen birth rate in Addison isn't high, and it's the problem of those kids in some neighborhoods in Dallas that have five times the national teen birth rate. It's particularly their problem. And for those people that don't believe that is their problem, we wanted to show them that they're actually paying for that.
The nonprofit teamed up with UT Southwestern to do that research. The first thing they looked at was what it costs to provide WIC vouchers, SNAP benefits, and Medicaid for teen moms in Dallas County. The cost for 1 year? $22 million. Anita Vasudevan is the medical student who dug into the numbers.
Medicaid was the biggest cost that we found, and particularly Medicaid childbirth costs, because most of the cost of childbirth for a girl in that age group, in the 15 to 19 age group, which is what I looked at, most of those costs are covered under Medicaid.
Vasudevan also explored costs for children of teen mothers. They're more likely than kids born to older parents to spend time behind bars, live in foster care, or be abused or neglected. Incarceration and Department of Family and Protective Services programs costs Dallas County close to $40 million a year, and that's just for kids of teen moms. Vasudevan also figured out how teen pregnancy leads to less tax revenue, $41 million to be exact.
Teen mothers are in lower income groups often, and because of that, they're paying fewer tax dollars, and they're also buying into the economy less.
So teen mothers make less and cost more. Interrupt CEO Terry Goltz-Greenberg says, in other words,
it's a tough road for a teen with a child.
Adrelle Collins agrees. Her road was long and lonely, but things change.
You couldn't tell me that the world wasn't over when I found out that I was pregnant, but it does get better. And thanks to like all of the help I received, I was able to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish before I was 30.
Which means she and her sweet, smart, almost fifth grader have a lot more road ahead of them. And the path looks pretty clear. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
And finally, a mariachi ensemble from the Fort Worth School District took home a national honor over the weekend. Mariachi Espuelas de Plata from the Northside High School won the championship at the Jose Hernandez Mariachi Nationals in Los Angeles. In 2014, the group performed at Carnegie Hall. Watch a video of a recent performance at artandseek.org. And coming up tomorrow morning, Dallas-based architecture firm Corgan has worked on hundreds of airports around the world, including DFW International and Dallas Love Field. Hear from the firm's head of aviation practices about the challenges of building a modern airport. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies expected later on. There's a 20% chance of rain with a low around 73. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance of storms with the high near 93. It's currently 88 degrees in Dallas, 89 in Fort Worth, 80 in Tyler, and 88 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.